Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
The UN has its 80th gathering today. In fact, it's been happening for the past 2 days. And we had our president give an address. We have our president also sit at what they call the Council for Foreign Relations meeting. We'll talk about that as well. But also, Donald Trump gave his address to the UN general meeting sitting. On the line with us is Raed Jarar, who is advocacy director at Dawn. We've spoken to them before. Jarid, thank you so much for talking to us. A very good evening to you. Or I'm not sure. I think it's still morning for you. Are you in New York?
Yeah, I am. And it's 2 p.m. here. Okay. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. I wasn't sure whether you had actually, joined some of the proceedings in the UN. Your sense of, let's start a little bit with what's been happening, particularly with Donald Trump, in relation to the Palestine question. We know that a lot of these countries now, including the UK now, saying that they want to recognize Palestine as a state. What do you make of that? Rallying behind a recognition of Palestine as a state. To what extent does that change anything in real terms for the Palestinians?
It is an important moment. Having the world recognize Palestine is an important moment of solidarity, an important moment where the world is saying we recognize Palestinian strive for self-determination and we oppose Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians. It is very symbolic when we think about the implications on the ground. And that's why many groups, including Dawn, my organization, has been saying that, this is excellent. This is a good step in the right direction. And we need solid action at the same time. And those actions are similar to the things that the South African president mentioned today in his speech at the United Nations General Assembly.
You obviously were watching what Donald Trump had to say in relation to Palestine. I mean, he went on to speak about how he has stopped many, many wars that people didn't think were going to stop. And this is a very important war. But he insists that he wants all the hostages back. In your sense, does that seem to you like it's a kind of tone that's going to move us closer to the end of this war?
Donald Trump and the United States government are partners in this genocide. Donald Trump is a war criminal because he has been aiding and abetting the genocide that is taking place in Gaza from the first day of his term in January of this year. The same way as the former U.S. President, President Biden, who is also involved in supporting, aiding, and abetting the genocide. So Donald Trump and the U.S. government, they have absolutely no legitimacy or political capital to show up on a world stage and talk as if he is a broker for peace or that he's a part of the solution. Trump and the United States are a part of the problem. The United States and Israel have been partnering in this ongoing destruction of Palestine, whether it is in Gaza or the West Bank. I honestly did not hear all of his remarks, tuned in and out a little bit of what sounded like ramblings, typical ramblings of someone who is very self-involved. I don't think that the solution will come from the United States or from Israel. The solution will come from the international community. The world has to step in and stop Israel and the United States. The United States is a part of the problem at this point.
So he obviously also met with some Arab leaders, and Turkey also was saying that they feel that the meeting they had with Donald Trump is pleasing and was fruitful. Those were his words. I'm quoting him now. And he's referring to the meeting between the United States and Arab Muslim leaders. And he says that we obviously didn't get cameras in, but he says that Donald Trump has brought together ideas that will end this war. The meetings with the Arab leaders, you know, what do you make of that meeting?
I don't know. I mean, it all depends on the results. And we're not dealing with a mystery here. There is only one course of action to end the genocide, and that course of action is for the United States to stop its support for Israel. The U.S. should stop sending weapons to Israel. The U.S. should stop vetoing international resolutions at the U.N. Security Council aimed at stopping the genocide. So it's not that complicated. The entire world has proposed multiple, blueprints for a ceasefire that has been accepted by everyone except for Israel. And this includes all the Palestinian factions, all of the Arab leaders. Everyone in the world knows a blueprint that will end up with a ceasefire. And that ceasefire will include an exchange of hostages and prisoners. It will include a withdrawal of Israeli forces to the 1967 border in Gaza. It will include other important aspects to make sure that reconstruction and humanitarian aid make it to Palestinians who are in dire need. The United States and Israel have been making promises, one promise after the other, and failing to implement this international vision for a ceasefire. And that's why I think what is important during this UN General Assembly is that we can't wait anymore. We can't wait for Trump to do what's right. We can't wait for Israel to do what's right. It is time for the international community to step in and take action. This action includes similar things to what the world did when South Africa was run by an apartheid regime back in the 60s and 70s. It started by suspending South Africa from the membership of the UN General Assembly and went through very serious sanctions on South Africa. We are hoping that South Africa now will lead the world in making immediate action to suspend Israel from the United Nations General Assembly and to call on other nations to impose sanctions and arms embargo on Israel.
So what concerns me and what confuses me, so we obviously saw, for those of us who were watching on television, that there were activists and other member states who walked, dignitaries who walked out when Israel was about to present. But this is what I'm not sure about. And we just spoke obviously about the fact that there are states, member states, who are recognizing Palestine officially. But Donald Trump, for instance, like all the other leaders, was supposed to get 15 minutes. He took 57 minutes. He got about a 20 seconds round of applause, a 13 seconds round of applause, almost like a mini standing ovation type thing. And this was from member states who, in essence, are calling for an end to this war. It's very confusing. Those optics are very confusing when one looks at, you know, how everybody says he's problematic, and yet on the one hand, but when he's right in front of them, they signal different things.
That's not confusing at all to me. The United States is a very scary empire. Yes. It's the strongest country in the world, led by an unhinged president who imposes tariffs and sanctions and bombs other countries when he doesn't like them. I don't think these things are contradictory. Mm-hmm. I don't think the United States or Trump has any respect or legitimacy left on the world arena. But at the same time, many people are scared of Trump and the United States. And these two things can go hand in hand. Dictators and fascist regimes throughout history were feared by others, not respected. They were feared by others. I don't really see that as a significant indication. Mm. But I do see many other significant indications of how the world has inched closer and closer to breaking this U.S. hegemony on the decision-making and on isolating the United States from leading the world on issues related to Israel-Palestine, like the vote that took place last week when the U.N. General Assembly adopted the so-called New York Declaration. We saw 145 countries around the world vote for recognition of the Palestinian state at a time that we had maybe 7 or 8 countries vote against it. The United States and Israel are completely isolated and weak when it comes to international policy and collaboration. They are very strong when it comes to military action and assassinations and bombings. But that's why the world has to come together at the United Nations General Assembly. And I am hoping that your audiences and, you know, and like other folks who are connected with government officials in South Africa and other African countries will pressure their representatives this week in New York to do something real, take actual action. It's enough, you know, using big adjectives and condemnations are no longer an option. It's not adequate to continue to condemn the genocide. We need actual action. And I think South Africa could and should lead the world in proposing an immediate suspension of Israel's membership in the United Nations General Assembly. Walking out of meetings is not enough. Condemning is not enough. We need actual sanctions. We need to actually condemn Israel's actions by taking actions against it.
So while you're on that, you know, and you were saying you were in and out of Trump's address, one of the things he stressed was he thinks that those who are recognizing Palestine are making a mistake and are sending the wrong message to Hamas, he says, saying that they're going to give them the impression that they've won. Clearly, you know, that's important on the backdrop of what you've just said about how intimidating a U.S. government can be in a collective like that, where, yes, people feel one way, but they feel a little bit intimidated in their presence.
And listen, this rhetoric is very, very, very old, and it doesn't work anymore. The United States and Israel call anyone who points out the facts that Israel and the United States are genocidal criminal actors in Gaza. They call anyone who points the fact out a Hamas supporter. And maybe it worked, you know, 10 years ago, maybe it worked 20 years ago. It doesn't really work anymore because they call everyone Hamas. They call everyone a Hamas supporter. They call the United Nations General Assembly, you know, president a Hamas supporter. They call the UN agencies Hamas supporters. They call everyone Hamas supporters. I mean, here in the United States, we've been having some very, very serious debates, including unprecedented conversations among right-wingers in the United States. These are conservative, mostly very racist voices in the U.S. who, you know, support white supremacy and are very critical of, you know, like U.S. engagement with the rest of the world. And they're very pro-Israel historically. Even among those voices who have dared to say Israel should stop killing babies in Gaza, they have been shocked. Because even among those voices, Israel and pro-Israel supporters calls them Hamas supporters. It is a joke. Mm-hmm. When you overuse it over and over and over, it loses its impact. I don't think the world is actually intimidated by these talking points anymore. I think people will speak up to say that Israel and the United States are committing violations of international law. They are involved in an ongoing genocide in Gaza. Whether or not Israel and the United States will intimidate the world by calling them Hamas supporters, in other words.
And maybe for some of us, the concern here is that whatever the UN Security Council does, whatever the UN General Assembly does in relation to Israel, in the end, though, in real terms, it doesn't matter for as long as the US supports its efforts. So on the one hand, yes, it's wonderful to have the world rally behind Palestine and seeing what's happening. But in real terms, if U.S. does not stop supporting this war, we're not really going to get to the end of it in the way that we'd like to, especially as soon as possible.
I mean, I don't know if I agree on that. I think with the UN Security Council, you are 100% right, because the U.S. has dropped one veto after the other. You know, rendering the UN Security Council completely inefficient and dysfunctional because of U.S. actions. But the world has another tool in our toolbox. Mm-hmm. The UN General Assembly actually has a mechanism that is very rarely used. Mm-hmm. It was used back in 19... 56 once. And that mechanism is called Uniting for Peace. Mm-hmm. Uniting for Peace is a mechanism that is only allowed if the UN Security Council is unable to reach a resolution to an issue. Mm-hmm. So back in 1956, the UN General Assembly authorized the sending peacekeeping forces to Egypt without the UN Security Council approval. Mm. Now, it's a little bit different technically, but it passed back in 1956 with a two-third majority of the UN General Assembly. It could pass with a two-third majority of the UN Assembly this week as well, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the president of Colombia mentioned that his country is going to file a Uniting for Peace resolution for Gaza, asking for a peacekeeping force to be sent to Palestine. Mm. And other countries, including Malaysia, have committed to sending tens of thousands of troops as a part of this peacekeeping force in Gaza. And that is a real thing that the UN General Assembly could do. Mm. I was talking about suspension of Israel from the UN General Assembly, which can happen here and now.
Yeah.
Imposing sanctions on Israel and an arms embargo could happen here and now. I think one more thing that could happen that will take more time and effort is sending peacekeeping forces. Because as you said, we can't just wait. We can't wait for the United States to come to its, senses. It's been 2 years of a genocide. The world has to step in and work regardless of the U.S. approach or response to this genocide.
My last question to you is that if that's the option that the world takes, will the U.N. have the muscle to actually go in there as peacekeeping forces and still stand against what U.S. will be supporting Israeli armies with?
Yes, the answer is yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
The world can and should come together with peacekeeping forces, and send it there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Israel and the United States will be as belligerent to go bomb the entire world's force that is going to protect babies in Gaza. But that is something that we have to do. Mm-hmm. And the world has reached that conclusion after 2 years of trial and failing. The presidents of South Africa and Colombia said the same thing yesterday and today, which is, listen, we have tried, we have condemned, we have passed resolutions, we have asked people to come to their senses. None of it has worked. And now it is time for action. So I hope that this week will be a watershed moment for the international community where we translate the sentiment that, as a Palestinian myself, I appreciate the sentiments of solidarity coming from the from the international community. I'm sure every Palestinian in the diaspora or Gaza or the West Bank or 48 appreciate these sentiments and symbolic support that's coming. But now we need action. We need action. We need the world to take action. We need to impose immediate sanctions on Israel now, an arms embargo on Israel now. Like, these things have to happen now. And even pushing for a peacekeeping force has to happen sooner than later.
I really appreciate you talking to us. I know that you're busy there at the UN. Raed Sharar, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon for you, evening for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. He's an advocacy director at Dawn. We've spoken to Dawn a few times. Jarid is an Arab-American political advocate. He's based in the U.S. in Washington, D.C., and they run this advocacy organization called Dawn. And he immigrated to the U.S. in 2005 and has been lobbying on political issues pertaining specifically to the U.S. Engaging in Arab world politics. And so that's a really important voice there. So I'm not sure what you make of that. 086-000-0959. We'll continue to engage on that. The UN General Assembly meetings are still going on. We will bring you a little bit of what Cyril Ramaphosa had to say at the UN also earlier on. I'll try and bring you also a little bit of what Trump had to say. But boy, that Trump address was interesting. I'd like to hear from you. 086-000-0959, or you can send voice notes on 063-688-0959. Click.
kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.